Welcome to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer, a full show of tips and practical strategies to repair, rebuild, and strengthen your relationship. If you are currently stuck, wondering if your marriage can be saved, or you know you want to save it but don't know how to go about changing it, this show is for you. To book your free marriage strategy session with Nicola, get the free marriage ebook or donate. If you are enjoying the show and want to help keep it flowing, visit www.nicolabeer.com.
Hi and welcome. I'm so happy you're here. This is a kind of special edition today, talking about affairs, cheating, and the impact of infidelity and the questions that people have. So what I thought would be useful, because these five questions come up time and time again, is to read a question and then answer it and talk about it, and then read another question and talk about my answer to it. Because the chances are, if these questions are coming up time and time again in my sessions, then there's a lot of people out there that are suffering with the same questions. So that's what today's episode is all about. Because countless people approach me daily wondering if an affair means it's time to leave their marriage. And over the past 10 years, I've really become an affair recovery expert. And how can I say that? Well, over 60% of the couples that come to me are struggling with an affair, struggling with some kind of cheating that has been happening. And I work with the cheater to understand why, get to the root issue, and focus on the actions to rebuild trust and connection, as well as couples to reignite their love, passion, and happiness. And I also support the person who's been cheated on to sleep better, remove painful images or those repetitive images that they don't want, deal with triggers like watching movies or seeing their partner on their phone, to feel more confident in themselves, to feel more confident sometimes in their body and sexually, and when they're ready, to release the past, not to forget, but to say, okay, this past is no longer going to have its hold on me, and get them to take that decision, I want to be free. And as time and time again, I get these five questions, I thought, okay, let me bring these five questions to my listeners. So if this is relevant to you, that's what I'll be doing in today's session. And I also have a private Facebook group where you can ask questions in a safe place, where I do a live Q&A every week. I'm going to be doing a couple on cheating and affairs over the next few weeks. So if you're looking to get more interaction with me in terms of, like, you have some questions you'd like to be answered, or you'd like to read about other people going through the same thing, then do join the Facebook group. It's private. So that means that only the group members will see what you write or what you post or what you share, and no one else, no one in your normal Facebook or anything will be able to access it. It will be purely contained to the group. And if you want to ask a question and you want feedback from the group members that are probably going through the same things, but you don't want to have it come from you, then I'm doing anonymous posts as well weekly. Plus, I also have a lot of support inside the group. I have different meditations that I give away and some sort of action exercises and audios to read and take action on. So please do join. It's called Nicola Beer Relationship Tips and Advice. You'll be able to just search by searching my name in Facebook or Relationship Tips and Advice. And also the link will be along with the show. Okay, so let's get into the first question. So the first question is, hi Nicola, my husband wants me to forget about the affair and move on, but I can't stop thinking about it, and he gets defensive whenever I want to ask questions. I want to move on and forget it all, but I keep having more questions come up. I try to tame it a bit to keep him happy, but sometimes I can't help myself. How can we best move forward from the affair, Nicola? He listens to your podcast, so it would be great if you can share what you do. Bless this person. So one of the first things that a couple needs to consider after an affair has taken place is whether they're both willing to really work on the relationship, to move forward past the affair. This includes being able to have those difficult conversations where both partners are able to discuss ins and outs of what has happened, as well as review their relationship in an honest and productive way. Being able to have an honest conversation about the affair, why it's happened, and being able to listen to one another is key. Discussing if something is missing or not going well in the relationship before the affair, so that you can understand what to do about the relationship and make that decision. Okay, are we going to really work for our relationship? Are we willing to put in the effort to make things better? Without these kind of honest and open discussions, you're left trying to make sense of the pain, and when you keep your thoughts inside, it's easy for insecurities to build up. Also, a lot of people, when they're keeping their thoughts inside, if their partner isn't sharing, they may think the worst. They may think they're never going to change, or they really don't love me, or that the affair is a lot worse than it was. It also leads resentment to be built when you're feeling frustrated and keeping it inside of you, rather than sharing in a positive way to help you move forward, which can lead to more destructive behaviours. A couple need to talk about whether the affair is over, why the affair happened in the first place. For example, was it something that pushed them to turn to someone else, or was the relationship good but they were pulled in by the other person? Understanding what the events leading up to it were is important, but equally important is understanding what benefits that person got from the cheating. Was it an escape, addictive pattern, revenge, drunken error, lifted self-esteem, ego boost, curiosity, people-pleasing? Once I help someone to discover this, I can then help the relationship a whole lot faster. Understanding and taking ownership is crucial, as you'll want to be sure that the person that has cheated will not do the same if the opportunity came up again. If a couple do not resolve the underlying issues, if they do not understand why and take action, then it leaves fear in the relationship that, okay, you did it because this reason, that reason we're not fixing or not even talking about, how do I know you're not going to do it again? So that's why a couple really need to get very clear on what they expect from each other to start rebuilding the relationship. Once both parties have been honest about what's happened and can express their feelings to one another about their relationship, they're able to start on a clean slate. This means both partners are aware of what is expected of them. For example, maybe the person who has been cheated on wants their partner to do certain things to regain trust. Or the person who has cheated may have cheated because they need their partner to show more affection or attention to them. This will give both partners a chance to work on the relationship and help decide when it's time to leave a relationship. Because if you're both unwilling to give each other what you need to be happy in a relationship, then the relationship is not going to be a happy one. And that's why whenever I'm working with a couple, the first thing that I do is get them really clear on what they need to be happy, what makes them feel alive, what brings them joy, and how to get that, and what that might look like, and give them actions and solutions, and then they share that with each other. Because we all have different values in relationships, values in life, and if these are not being met on a consistent basis, we're going to feel very good. And that being said, whilst I've mentioned the importance of talking here, it's very important also to not over-talk the relationship. Some couples, they like to over-talk it for months on end, or one person in the relationship wants to keep on talking about it. And this is really just going to bring the relationship backwards rather than take it forwards. You don't want to be stuck in the past because you're talking about it again and again and again. It's understanding, clearing, actions, and then getting into the actions, and no need to keep talking and talking and talking. Of course, for the first 1 to 2 months, it's natural, and then hopefully this will subside and it's time for that action that I mentioned. So that's how I really address that kind of question and my recommendations for that question. Another popular question I get asked about is the excuse that boredom has caused the cheating. This is where people will reach out to me and say, Nicola, I can't believe that my husband or wife has cheated on me and given the excuse that they are bored. They've thrown away everything we've built together, all of our good years, threatened our family because they were bored. I just don't get it. And I can totally relate to that. And so I wanted to address this question and bring this answer to you because I know that it is really difficult to try and understand how someone could hurt you so much because they're bored. So let's explore this. So affairs don't often start off premeditated. Sometimes they can often start off as friendly conversations with another person or drive to get attention or a distraction from uncomfortable feelings. Now, those uncomfortable feelings may be outside of the relationship with stress at work, stress with finances, stress with other family members, or anything else that life can throw at us. A new connection with someone can often bring excitement and fantasies to the surface. It can be, for some, a welcome escape from daily life and responsibilities. I find that for a lot of men and women, when I question them on boredom aspect, that we are dealing with here is an actual fact, loneliness. Yes, loneliness in relationships is so common. You can be living with a house full of people and be lonely. So they cheat to escape the loneliness as well as the boredom. The question to really ask is boredom the real issue, or are they covering up and saying boredom because they do not want to share that they are lonely and be vulnerable? Or is it because of some other reason, a deeper reason than boredom, but they are scared to tell you because they're worried about you leaving? I often find that boredom is one of those surface reasons, but there's a deeper reason underneath. Now, whilst I'm explaining the reasons for boredom to strike in a relationship, I'm not justifying affairs by any means, and I would never do that. The person who has cheated always has the choice to explore their feelings and discuss these with their partner. They have the choice to deal with any loneliness, any boredom, in countless, maybe hundreds of different ways, rather than cheat. So it's always a choice. When the excuse of boredom is given, it often doesn't go deep enough for the person that's been cheated on to be at peace. So I've addressed boredom in general there, but what if they say they are bored of the relationship? They're bored of their partner, they're bored of the sex life. Well, this is a different thing altogether. Most relationships start off with a lot of passion and excitement, getting to know each other, dressing up for one another, and generally doing as much as possible to make their love life interesting. However, over time, life can get in the way, and you may not have as much energy or time to dedicate to one another. Cozy nights in your PJs after a long day at work can replace those fun-filled dinner dates out where you both look your best and are excited to learn more about each other. Now, while there's absolutely nothing wrong with staying home and being comfortable with each other, if one of you starts to miss that passion in the early days, it can be often a contributing factor for someone to seek excitement. And again, it's responsibility for that person to bring it up and for the couple to create more excitement. Spicing up the sex life, if that needs to be done, I always give those that I work with like a sexual reading book list. It's also doing different things as a couple. Adding more passion and excitement into the relationship in different ways can be there. And then addressing very sensitive area, which again, I normally take a lot of couples through, and that's attraction. I had a couple very recently where she's not attracted to her husband because of the way that he's drinking and behaving when he's been drinking. He's not attracted to her because of her emotional eating and that she's eating her dinners and then eating after. They've just had a meal, and when he sees her eating a box of cookies, he's feeling unattracted, and they're really getting stuck and they don't know how to address that. So we're addressing that in a way where they're both supporting each other to bring about that change and definitely removing all the negative comments that have been happening in their relationship. So yes, it can be difficult to get to our real true feelings and express them. It's essential to have that trusting, loving, happy marriage or relationship after. And what often people don't realise is that when someone has been cheated on, they are going to know so much more whether they're being lied to or not, because they are looking and they're sensitive to this. So if someone is saying boredom is an excuse and it's not authentic, doesn't feel authentic, then they're going to know. The next question is, Nicola, I need to know why they thought it was acceptable to cheat on me. We have been married for 25 years and I've supported them through everything. We have 3 children together and 5 grandkids together. How could they do this to me? So betrayal is a difficult thing to deal with, of course. And the grieving period that people go through after an affair is immensely intense and very difficult to handle. And these questions of, like, how could they do that? Why would they do that when you've given so much to each other, or you've experienced so much to each other? Or I have couples where they're childhood sweethearts and they've been together for so, so long. And they're just like, how could you do this? How could you shake our foundation? How could you treat me like this? And of course, I can't comment on the mindset or actions of anybody that I haven't been speaking to and supporting them to get to the root of the issues and to help them understand the behavior so they can explain this and support their partner. And if someone is stuck and they don't know how to explain it, maybe professional help is going to be helpful to give the insight to bring peace to the relationship and actions to the relationship, because from understanding, then you'll be able to create the actions to change. And whilst this is no excuse whatsoever, I've found that in my 10 years working with couples with affairs, that some men and women are able to compartmentalize their partner and affair partner into separate categories in their mind. They're able to shut down completely, thinking through the consequences of their actions. If they don't want to think about their affair or the consequences, they can easily not think about it. They can easily put it into 2 completely separate boxes. And I've been amazed. And so obviously have the person that's been cheated on. They're like, how could you just see someone else and then come into the house and be with me? How could you think it's okay to have sex with lots of different people? Or how could you think it's okay to be here on my birthday one day and go to the bathroom and then send a picture to somebody else? And the more I have worked in this field, the more I've seen that people can easily manipulate their own minds to just switch off the consequences, to block out, oh, I don't want to think about that, and just carry on. Just like when people bury their head in the sand in relationships, people kind of bury their head in the sand when it comes to affairs. And it's kind of like when a person has an addiction, they just deny it. They deny it to themselves. They lie to themselves. Oh, it's no big deal. Oh, it's nothing. Oh, I'll stop later. Oh, you know, it's no, whatever it is. They're minimizing. And this minimizing is very damaging in life for the long term. If we're minimizing what we've done, if we're minimizing what's happened to us, if we're minimizing our problems, then we're not really looking at them, addressing them, and conflict is somewhere going to happen down the line. Also, I get that sometimes where people come to me for support. One person in the marriage is saying, you know, our relationship is really struggling. We've got a lack of communication, a lack of intimacy, a lack of compassion. And the other person is like, no, we'll be fine. Or it's no, you know, there's no real problems. We don't really have any problems. And they've just completely minimized the situation. They're in denial. And this is what can happen, unfortunately, with affairs. People can go into denial. They rationalize it. They normalize it. Or they just put it in that box. I'm not going to think about it. And this is hard to deal with and try to understand, especially when you're the one that's been cheated on, and thinking, how could you do this all those years in some cases? Or how could you do this when we were having some really great times, and it can be very painful? So that's the third question. The fourth question that I get asked a lot is whether their reaction to the affair is appropriate. So this is about people being cheated on. Like, I had a man a few weeks ago and he said to me, Nicola, my wife cheated on me, and I'm sad, but I feel okay about it. I've read everywhere that I'm meant to be devastated, I'm meant to be shouting, screaming, in so much pain. I'm hurt, I'm disappointed, but I'm not devastated. Is there anything wrong with me? And this is what I kind of said to him, that there's no right or wrong way to react to a wife cheating on you. And he already saw his part in it. He already saw that he did some things leading up to the affair. So I was just like, you know, it's great that you can see things and from that perspective, that it's a joint responsibility to repair the relationship and that you're not playing the victim. Sometimes people are able to communicate their feelings in a calm, collected way. Sometimes people do want to move forward together and realize that overreacting, screaming and shouting, maybe not the best way to go about it. Other people, they need to let that out. They need to share that because they need their partner to understand what it is doing to them. And neither is right or wrong. The key thing is to understand, do you want the relationship? Do you want it to work? And getting into those actions and creating a goal around those actions. So if you have been cheated on and you're fine with it, the question to really ask yourself is, am I really fine with it, but I'm hiding because I don't want to lose my partner? Am I fine with it because I don't want to be in the relationship really? Am I fine with it because I've cheated myself? And this is something that I would need to explore with a person, of course, in a lot more detail. So any reaction to cheating will be different for different people. The length of how long it lasts will be different. There is a kind of general time span that I do take couples through. However, everyone is different. And the most important thing is to not stay stuck in the overthinking, over-talking about the relationship, over-talking, over-thinking about the affair. Especially like after a few months, that it's really time to repair the relationship. The focus needs to be on communication, actions to rebuild the connection, creating a common goal, dealing with the triggers of the affair. Of course, triggers will continue to come up. Could be watching a movie, could be seeing an image of a person that looks like the affair partner. It could be seeing your husband or wife, girlfriend, boyfriend on their phone. Whatever it is, dealing with the triggers is always going to be there. So in that sense, it's not going to go away. But repeating what's happened and why, that really needs to be changed after a certain period and focused on repairing the relationship. I have a lot of couples say, okay, we've discussed the affair, and they haven't been discussing, okay, we've got a problem with our intimacy. We don't agree on this issue when it comes to our children. We don't have this in common. We're not doing this. So there's so many other things that need to be looked at. So in a short answer, if you are finding that you're okay with things, it's just checking in. Am I really okay? Am I doing the actions that I need to do to make the relationship work? Am I in denial, or am I actually taking responsibility and moving forward in a positive way? And the last question is, how can I get my husband or wife to stop asking the same question over and over again? And this is where a husband or wife will say to me, Nicola, I really regret the affair. It's been a nightmare. I love my partner. I really want it to make it work. I don't want to keep talking about the affair. I want us to move forward. I don't want to hurt them anymore. I don't want them to keep asking questions. It just sets me back. I want to forget it. How can I stop them from asking me those same questions and rebuild our relationship? And to this one, I will always say that it's never easy for either partner to work on the relationship after an affair. The person who has cheated may have a lot of changes to make and deal with the backlash of their partner's pain. And the person who has been cheated on has to come to terms with what has happened and understand why it has happened for them to have any kind of peace. Whilst it's draining to have an affair brought up time and time again, and of course, the cheating spouse does not want to cause any more damage than it's already done, it's essential to answer every single question. Because not talking about issues can often cause more insecurities and worry, which leads them to make even more doubts and concerns in their mind and leads them to find even more questions, if that makes sense. What works best is creating a safe environment and time to discuss what has happened with an open and honest discussion. This is where both will be able to explain their feelings, and instead of being questioned any time, any place, you'll be able to focus and help your partner understand why the affair has happened. This does mean often having to answer difficult questions, but honesty is key, and having time to be truthful and share it all will give you both a sense of relief in the long run. So sometimes couples that I work with, they will decide, okay, let's speak every day about this. 8 o'clock at night, once the children have gone to bed, we'll talk through any questions and then we'll get on with the rest of our evening together. And that's when I say every day, that can be just for the beginning few weeks of discovering the affair. Other couples, they just will talk about it again and again for the first 3 weeks, 4 weeks, anytime. Sometimes it can be really helpful to create that safe place and a time. And you need to say, okay, I can't deal with it when I'm working. I can't deal with it when the children are around without crying or getting angry. So it's choosing the right time and the right place. Total honesty is an absolute must. The person who's been cheated on is going to be extra sensitive to the lies, as I mentioned. They're going to know if you are covering something up, if you're being fake. You have to be 100% honest, because they feel it in their gut. They know something is off if you are covering or not telling the truth. It's not the time to try and protect them now after they've discovered the affair. It's time to be really real and truthful. It's about sharing what's happened, how you felt at that time, what you feel right now is essential. Following on from your discussion, it's always important to spend the rest of this dedicated time to having fun, talking about different things. So you're not over-talking the relationship. You're doing other activities, you're engaging, you're doing kind of like normal relationship things. Maybe you can do a good activity together. I have a great activities couple sheet that I give to couples, and that's got a column for one person to list what they really would like to do out of 100 different activities, column for the other person, and then they choose ones that really resonate with them. And this helps them to have ideas. So why don't you sit down together, write a list of all the things you can do inside the home, all the things you can do outside of the home, and then rate them. Would you love to do that? Would you not like to do that? Are you okay giving it a go? And just having ideas there written down can be a really lovely thing to do, brainstorming together. By turning the focus back onto the relationship, couples can steadily rebuild the love and trust that is often fragile after an affair. If you're listening because you've had an affair of some kind, or you're the person that's been cheated on, my heart goes out to you. If you really want the relationship to work, there needs to be willingness to work on the relationship, understanding that triggers will always happen and how to deal with them in a peaceful way, and also getting into action. Actions are key to rebuilding trust after an affair. Nothing you say to each other is going to provide the comfort that consistent, positive actions, loving actions, kind actions will. I take couples through 25 needs that people have in a relationship and say to them, pick your top 8. So maybe you can sit down together and write a list of what you need to be happy. And I'm not talking about the affair, like, oh, I need you to share your passwords, I need you to do this, I need you to do that. I'm talking about relationship needs, needs for affection, attention, that kind of thing. Now, if you have cheated on your partner, I'm just going to leave you with a few tips here to help your relationship move forward. As I mentioned, honesty and openness. Be honest and open about all aspects of your life so that you can get back the trust in you and the relationship. No white lies whatsoever, and that consistency. Being consistent in doing what you say you will do. For example, if you say that you're going to go to the shops but take an hour longer than you normally would, it's understandable for your partner to feel insecure and worried that you're seeing someone else or messaging someone else or lying. These kind of triggers will come up again and again, so it's important to give reassurance. It's important to do what you say you will do. Reassure them, you know, for example, in this case, by letting them know that you've been held up, you're going to be late, you're stuck in traffic, you bumped into someone you knew. In this way, they know that you're thinking of them, that you're considering their feelings, and that you understand the pain caused by the cheating, and you respect them enough to keep them in the know. Show them love. Show them that they are the only one you're focused on. And through your actions, that you want to make sure that they feel loved, that you're remorseful for the pain that you've put them through. Organising special date nights, for example, cooking for them, spending more time for them, putting your phone away. Change behaviour is the best way to reassure your partner that you're no longer interested in pursuing anyone else and that you understand that you need to change to make it up to them. If you feel that you are making all the effort possible and it's not working, then it really does come down to whether you both can continue in this relationship the way that it's going. There needs to be a decision made about whether you're taking steps further to make the relationship better, like seeking a marriage coach, getting some communication skills, releasing resentment from the past, changing negativity and hopelessness or depression, getting positive actions to change those, dealing with relationship insecurities and the grief after an affair. You know, all of those things need to be worked on, and so does the intimacy maybe in your relationship, or the connection, or the communication. As I mentioned, communication is so important. So, you know, are you taking those actions to learn that? Are you individually working with a relationship expert or together? Are you doing everything you can to make this area of your life the best it can be? And there really is no one answer for all relationships. Of course, today I've just been talking more generally. If you have specific questions about what to do with your affair and your relationship is in real trouble, you can book a free 30-minute session with me where I'll go through how I support couples, understand your situation in a bit more detail. They'll be able to give you some guidance on what to do. You can also join my Facebook group where you're going to be able to get from there lessons and tools to making your relationship great. So from my heart to yours, thank you so much for listening to me. I'd really love to support you, whatever struggle that you're going through. Relationships do go through many stages over the years, and people often who've been married for some time will go through these highs and lows, these cold and distant periods, these loving and amazing periods. And it's my goal to help you have that amazing, love-filled relationship that you really want. Take good care of yourself and each other. Bye.
Thank you for listening to How to Save Your Marriage with Nicola Beer. To book your free marriage strategy session today, you can visit www.nicolabeer.com, where you can also get the free marriage fixing ebook, request a topic for the show, and make a donation if the show has been of benefit to you and you want to help keep it going. We wish you an amazing, love-filled day ahead.